providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. As we jumped around with Rick, we are now featuring Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lyons Share Pro website. That's where you can follow along with Dana's trading strategies and what his firm's internal models are telling him about the direction of broad averages as well as individual sectors. Now, Dana, starting off with the markets, look, we've been harping on this for the last little while here, maybe a week or two, is that the markets have been pretty boring. You look back through the whole month of March and the broad averages are generally moving sideways, maybe with a teeny tiny bias to the upside, but overall more sideways than not. One thing that's caught my eye, though, is the VIX dropping, at least as we're recording this, into the 16 level, which is really the lowest level we've seen since the very beginning of 2022. So almost a year and a half. Just shows that I guess investors aren't taking a whole lot of bets on the downside, but also they're clearly not piling into the upside. So Dana, what are your models telling you about the market setup right now?
Sure. Well, when it comes to the VIX, it's obviously languishing, pretty much giving us an idea of what kind of a market that you just described, you know, kind of a lifeless, kind of a dull market out there where we're moving sideways for the most part at best. Now, when we are this low in the VIX, generally it's a tailwind for stocks. You know, we usually see some sort of a heads up or a red flag when the VIX starts rising, even when stocks do not. And when it sticks low like this, it's pretty much a sign of calm waters until obviously you get that extreme kind of a plunge, kind of a washout move in the VIX, or in, like we talked about before, in the term structure of the VIX. So you see the 9-day or the front month VIX just plummet versus the longer dated VIX contracts. And that's a sign of too much complacency. We're not necessarily there yet. So I would caution against maybe getting too bearish on stocks just because the VIX is low. I think it's okay that it's low until we get to the point where, you know, we do get that kind of washout in the term structure. And like I said, I don't think we're there yet. As far as our models are concerned, they're kind of middle of the road, which is also descriptive of, you know, the movement in the price action in the equity market. So I think we had genuinely a opportunity for a nice, strong intermediate term rally starting last fall, and it continued into January. We did see a bit of a bounce. We did ultimately did bottom back in October. So we just haven't seen an extension of that rally necessarily that we thought might happen, especially with the good positive breath readings in January, the broad participation in that rally. And we've seen, like we mentioned at the time, that while people are getting all excited about the January barometer and the nice start to the year, we mentioned that oftentimes you flip the switch or the script, whichever, after January. And that's what happened. So we've kind of seen the opposite since. In January, we had a strong broad rally while the indices were kind of middle of the road. And since then, we've seen the averages recover, the popular major averages, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100 have all performed pretty well. You know, they've recovered most of the key technical levels, even as, you know, a lot of the broad averages and a lot of the smaller cap averages, the equal weight averages, they've all been kind of languishing. They haven't really gone anywhere. They certainly haven't recovered much in terms of key technical ground. So it's hard to get, I'd say right now, it's hard to get excited one way or another in the equity market. Certainly, we're not making any aggressive bets right now either way. I mean, you look at, you know, just looking at the chart of the micro cap average, even as the S&P and NASDAQ are trying to hit, you know, rally highs, maybe 6-month highs or whatever, got the micro caps are just a few points off of their 52-week lows. You know, they made a new low in March below that October low and have hardly bounced since. So it's kind of a tale of two markets right now. So it's probably prudent not to take big bets either way.
Well, Dana, I think you raise an interesting point on that tale of two markets, because we were talking before we started recording that a lot of the large cap stocks are garnering some interest, and that is really the largest components of the indexes. So when you look at the S&P 500, it may be that the top 10 stocks are moving the needle and driving the bus, but the other 490 stocks are telling you a different story. Same thing in the NASDAQ. When you look at the top leadership versus the rest of the composite, it's kind of telling you a different story. And what you just mentioned there with those microcap stocks, still near their 52 weeks lows and even making a new low in March, that's painting a different picture than what people are taking away from the indexes. And we saw that same thing at the top in 2021, where a lot of the market breadth started moving down before the big indexes did. Maybe just share how your models look at that and why you take into account the whole market breadth and not just the indexes.
Sure. Like I think we've talked about in the past, so we incorporate a lot of breadth type statistics in our models just because all the research has determined that, you know, 70 to 80% of the direction of a particular stock will be determined by the direction of the overall market. So we want to determine where the overall market is going up or down and then position ourselves accordingly. So when often at the top, like you mentioned, specifically that at the top in late 2021, early 2022, as well as most other key tops, you know, 2000 certainly was the best example, but even 07 and other markets. And I recall the summer of 2015 was a great example as well. You often see the broad market top out earlier and start heading down. The breadth starts decaying. And because of that, our models start heading down, even when, you know, the major averages might still be hitting higher highs and still be going higher because of what you said, that the performance might be, and some of the broader internal decay might be masked by, you know, those handful of major mega cap stocks that continue to rise and continue to prop up the major averages, despite the fact that many of the soldiers within the average have topped out and are actually headed lower. So right now we're seeing, I mean, obviously we're not near any major top, but we are seeing the majority of stocks have not broken many key technical levels. They're still challenged from a technical perspective, even as, you know, a relative handful of mega cap stocks are propping up those major averages and pushing them up towards, you know, 6-week highs or rally highs. So for us, that's still a red flag. You know, like I said, we want to be positioned the side of the direction of the overall market. And right now, you got to say most stocks, the majority of stocks within the broad market are still challenged. They're still, you're still not getting that all clear sign. So yeah, I'm not saying you got to be out of the market totally, but if you're going to be in the market at this point, yes, you might as well be in, you know, the cap weighted averages, those index funds that, you know, are, that have made some technical progress, that are hitting, you know, 6-month highs or higher highs or so, as opposed to the broader averages, which are still sucking wind. But I would caution that when you get that sort of divergence between the generals and the soldiers, invariably the soldiers end up winning in terms of eventually pulling down those major averages. So when you see broad markets start to crack, that will typically pull down eventually the major averages, even when they continue to hit all-time highs or rally highs and higher highs. Usually gravity in terms of the broader market will pull those down.
Okay, so still very much a mixed market, but it does sound like you're leaning a little bit more to the bearish side. But again, man, oh man, it really ties into the discussions that we had all this week, asking people if what they thought of a possible recession, possible bigger market pullback later this year. And boy, oh boy, it's a real mixed, muddy picture out there. let's move into a couple individual sectors then. Let's start with precious metals because, look, gold's consolidating above $2,000 an ounce. The gold stocks have done pretty well, but it does have people wondering, is gold going to break out? Are the stocks going to continue to rise, or is a pullback coming? Dana, how are you viewing the precious metals sector right now?
I think both. I think they're definitely in an uptrend, as we've been saying for a while. We do like the prospects for the precious metals complex, both the metals as well as the mining companies. So we are long gold. You know, we play the ETFs. We're long GLD and SLV, and as well as the mining companies. I will say we did get a little extended after that big up move into late last week. So I would not be, certainly would not be chasing it there. We actually have a small hedge on in the gold miners because I think they're in the short term, there is some downside possibility here. So would not be chasing, but as opposed to the equity market, which that we still certainly don't have an all clear sign. So there's a little muddier picture there, I think, as you mentioned. Within the precious metals complex, I think it's clearly a buy the dip market. But it's certainly after, especially after the run that we've had with gold running up to all time highs and silver having a nice run, even the miners. I don't think it's certainly not a spot to be chasing prices higher. I would wait for a nice pullback, but would continue, certainly would continue to add to our positions on those pullbacks.
Okay, Dana, and I think some of our audience will be happy to hear that, that there's relative strength in the precious metals. Another sector that's been stronger than a lot of people were expecting this year has been the bond market. We've seen yields just continue to pull back, and bonds have had a pretty nice run. I know that you were looking at it from a long side perspective a little while back. Are you still encouraged by bonds, or what's your take on it?
Yeah, we're still long currently. My normal caveat is that we are very bearish in the long term. We think rates bottomed out, the long 60-year cycle bottomed out in 2020. We probably head up for a couple decades even in interest rates. But in the intermediate term, we are long the 10-year and the 30-year. Would be buying dips or bounces in the yields. So actually, we're at a spot right now where we would be certainly be looking to add to long positions right here after that, the nice bounce in yields over the last couple of weeks. So I think there is genuinely another a chance for another decent down leg in yields, and specifically in the 10-year, looking for a move down towards about 280. And on the 30-year, we'd be looking for a move down towards about 3%. So right now, you know, obviously, developments and price action obviously would and can change our strategy there. If we pop up, towards the highs from last year. But at the moment, we're long, and we do think we have a chance for another down leg in yields that we saw, which started last fall. So I would keep an eye on the lows that we've seen a couple times throughout the early part of the year. And if we break that, then I would look for another down leg in yields towards those levels that I mentioned.
280 for the 10-year, Dana. 10-year, I'm seeing it at 350 right now. That's a pretty aggressive move down. Could that come quickly, or is this more of a grinding move?
I would suspect if we break 330 to 340 level again, it could come pretty quickly, especially if we have some sort of a catalyst or event, because there's not much there in terms of price support or yield support, I should say. So it could happen. It could happen pretty quickly, like that down move we saw last fall happened pretty quickly. So it wouldn't be surprising for me to see that. But again, that would signify around a 38 retracement of the up move in yields from the 2020 low. So still firmly in a longer term, I think, uptrend, but certainly not out of the realm of general market pattern or price patterns to see us drop back down there.
Well, Dana, we've talked about gold and we've talked about bonds as two safe havens. What about the dollar? Usually seen as a safe haven, but it's been kind of weak this year. What's your outlook on the greenback?
Right now, in a downtrend, it's kind of like little bit like the yields, you know, longer term, I think we're looking for a higher dollar eventually. Right now, certainly in a downtrend. So we're looking on the dollar index next to drop to about 98. So right now we've got no position on it, but if we did, I'd be shorting it into bounces. But like I said, no position right now, but I would not be surprised to see, I should say the 99 level, would not be surprised to see us eventually test there.
Okay, final market then, Dana. Cryptos. It was just about last week that Bitcoin broke above that $30,000 level. It's been generally strong this year. It's rebounded strongly off of its bottom from last year. How are you playing the crypto market?
Yeah, we're long cryptos, long Bitcoin and Ethereum, at least via exchange-traded funds. So we saw a nice breakout, I guess it was last week, in Bitcoin above, call it around that mid-28,000 level. And we've pulled back to test that breakout level. So this is kind of a perfect entry point for us. If we end up decisively breaking back down below there, then maybe we're looking at a false breakout. We don't know that yet. So right now, you know, 28,000-ish was good resistance, longer-term resistance for us. So if we can generally help hold this area, we're buying it around here, and we look for potential to bounce up towards, call it 36,000 or so. And similar with Ethereum, you know, around the mid 18, call it the mid 1850 to 1900 level should be decent support. So we're pulling back, testing that breakout level around now again as well. So if we can hold that general vicinity, I think we have a chance to maybe push up towards 2400.
All right, Dana, we're going to wrap it up here. Always great comments, and very interested to hear what your models are telling you. Even though it's a mixed message for the broad averages, there are still some opportunities in these other sectors that have done pretty well. But hey, who knows where this summer is going to take us. Maybe it will be a slow summer. Maybe we will start to get some more aggressive moves, either on the upside or the downside, that I know a lot of investors are waiting for. Dana, thank you for your time on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Mike Larson talking big picture. What is his outlook for the rest of this year?